The title of my message today, in continuation with our series, like I said to us, it's a continuation until we get into the new year. We get into 2019. I will succeed. You will succeed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 13. I read from verses 3 to 9. It's a common scripture, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 3 to 9. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. May God bless his word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. May you hear and may you retain by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. The title of my message is Hold On to the Word of God. Hold On to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 130. The Bible says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Watch the word. It did not say the hearing of your word gives light. It says the entrance. Not just the hearing, but the entrance of the word is what gives you light. That light means it gives you revelation. When you open up yourself to the word of God, the light of God will flood your heart. You begin to see things in a different light. Your mind begins to change. We hear the word of God many times, but it had no entrance. It had no connection within our hearts. When the word of God penetrates, when we allow it to penetrate, confusion will give way. It gives way to understanding. And when you open up and understanding comes, something begins to happen. You begin to catch God's ideas. You can hear it if you don't receive it. And retain it, it cannot produce the God idea. Because God's intention is for his word to impregnate us so that we can bath God's ideas. So it's not enough to listen with the ears, but to listen with the heart. Let it touch your heart. Let your heart be broken for the word of God. The Bible says, break up your fallow ground. Let the word of God find a place that it can stay within you. The word of God becomes nothing to you. It becomes nothing in your life until it is connected with your heart. When it connects with your heart, some people break down crying. it takes over their mind. The power of it just overwhelms you. Until you make yourself vulnerable to the word of God, it will produce nothing. We make ourselves vulnerable to people. We make ourselves vulnerable in relationships that doesn't pay us. But the word of God will pay you beyond your imagination. The word of God is a supernatural seed. The word of God. The power of the word of God is unimaginable. If you allow it to penetrate. From the parable of the soil, we saw the different soils. But I'm taking you somewhere with this. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Luke 8, verse 11. In Matthew 13, you see the parable of the sower. In Luke 8, you see the parable of the sower. Now, when Jesus was explaining the parable, what did he say? He says, now the parable is this. Everybody read with me. Oh, come on. Read with a loud voice. The what? The sower went to sow the word of God. He says the seed. Jesus said the seed is the word of God. The most powerful force that can change anybody's life is revelation. When you catch God's revelation, your life can never remain the same. You'll be a mystery to your friends. I'm telling you, I'm a proof of it. When I caught God's revelation, my life changed. My perception changed. Even my desires changed. My friends mocked me. And it wasn't easy. But the force of the word of God, the force of that revelation, was too strong for me to go back. And that's why I know, even after 30 odd years and more, I can still go back. Even if you pay me a $10 million prize, I can't go back. I can't turn my back on Jesus. It's impossible. Praise the Lord. Where we are seated today is by the power of revelation. We had nothing. We were not a multitude. But by the power of revelation, it happened. Everything about my life since I gave my life to Jesus Christ has been by the power of revelation. Some of my testimonies you know. And I didn't cook any one of them up. The received word of God has the capacity to give you a dream. The seed, the word, has the capacity to give you a big dream, for that matter. A dream bigger than yourself. When the word of God penetrates your heart, dream seeds are planted by God. Dream seeds. God has planted dream seeds into your heart. The day you genuinely gave your life to Jesus, the day you genuinely said, Jesus, come into my life, come and be my Savior. God planted a big seed. Might look tiny like that, but it's big. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us have trivialized that seed. We paid no attention to it. To us, it looked like nothing. It means nothing. We began to pursue other stuff. We left that seed. We think it doesn't worth it. There's nothing there. Oh, everything about your life, everything about your future is in that seed. I heard the story of a man who inherited a land. Everybody was digging for diamond, was digging for gold. Each began to dig on his land. To him, he found nothing. So they said, oh, come. There's a place far away that people are finding diamonds. Come along. And he sold his land and he left. The person he sold it to was walking that land and he found a stone. He picked the stone and he took it home. He did not even know what he picked. He left it on his mantle. One day somebody came to visit with him and saw a tiny sparkle from the stone. Curiosity set in. He got up, asked about the stone. Oh, I just found it on the ground. He looked at it. Friend, buddy, this is not a stone. This is diamond. No, you must be kidding. It's just a stone. Okay, let's take it in. Let it be checked. They went and checked it up. And lo and behold, it was a diamond. On the same ground that man left. And he thought it was nothing. There was diamond in it. You must have known by now that we are on radio. Last week I told us it was going to be called the School of Influence. But we were not able to get a domain name for School of Influence. It wasn't available. Somebody else had bought it. So we had to change the name to Living Statutes. Back in England, that was my radio program, Living Statutes. And that was available. When I went to sign the contract with the radio station, the sales manager, a lady, she was asking me about the church and so on and so forth. So I told her the truth. Oh, I said, people come and leave. Oh, where do they go? I said, they leave. They go to Texas. They are looking for greener pastures. She was shocked. I said, because they felt there are no opportunities for them in Kansas. She said, what? What? No opportunities in Kansas City? I am shocked too. Because most of the time, what you are looking for is not far away. What you are looking for is inside you. Did you get me? What you are looking for is not far away. What you are looking for is where? Inside you. When you have it inside, it can happen anywhere. If it does not happen inside you, go and look for it anywhere. You will still not be satisfied. You still never find it. Praise the Lord. That dream, that revelation, the revelation from God by God inside you is your future. Is your everything. That word planted in you is your lifeline. Pay attention to it. Tell your neighbor, pay attention to it. The power of God's word, when it's ignited inside you, takes you on a journey of discovery. On a journey of discovery within. You can't manufacture it. You discover it inside. You received it from God. So you discover it inside. You run with it. You act on it. You hold on to it. Write this down if you must. That dream seed is a potential of what can be that has yet or that has not become yet. That dream is a potential of what can be that has not become yet. But it will become if you hold on to it long enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to be productive. God wants every one of us to be productive and successful with the dream seeds he has planted within us. God gives us his word so that we can profit by it. Listen. God is not responsible for whatever you do with your dream. God is not responsible for what you do with the seed he has planted inside you. If things are not working with that seed, it's not God's fault. If that seed is not working in you, it's not God's fault. You have to look at yourself and not God. Tell your neighbor you are responsible for what that seed becomes in you. So, the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:8-9, it says, but others fell on good ground. I pray that you are a good ground. The problem was not with the seed. The seed that fell by the wayside. The seed that fell on concrete. The seed that fell where there is not enough soil. Is not the fault of the seed. It's the fault of the soil. Watch this. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The type of soil you are will determine the realization of the fruits of the seed planted in you. Amen. I know of a certainty. I can happen anywhere. Why? Because of the seed I carry. I'll always remind us, especially for those who have not heard it before. When God told me to come to Kansas City, I'd never been to this city before. I've been to 23 states in America. Initially, I struggled to obey God. Especially when I was listening to what people were saying around me. What's in Kansas City? Most people think there are only cows in Kansas City or in Missouri. But I had to obey God, come what may. Then I came. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a friend. I didn't have a family. I didn't have a body. I didn't have nobody waiting for me. It was just me, the word of God, and faith. I went to God. I said, Lord, but you know, I don't know anybody. He said, shut up, you know me. Then I came. For our own organization, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, it was after I got in here that I was told that four pastors have been here and they left. They said, oh, it's too hard. I visited one of them just to catch a glimpse or a picture of the city I'm coming into. And I regretted going there to visit him. He had nothing good to say about all the people living in this city. Especially the Nigerians. They are all bad people. Evil people. The person that took me to his house, I was pinching him. I said, let's go. Let's go. I don't want my seed to die in this house. I can't plant it here. It would die. I better get out of here. I never looked back. I never called him back. I never visited him again. But one day he came here. He was surprised. I'm still holding on to those promises, those pictures that God showed me. I'm not letting it go because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just like I told us, we're going to be on radio. Some of us didn't believe it. At least I know two people that believed it. They contributed towards it. And maybe after they contributed, they didn't hear anything. They too must have lost hope. That money is gone. Okay, let's leave it. You know? And those people, well, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much. Dr. Oni, Sister Philo, thank you very much. You know? With that same money, and I added my own, my wife, and I went there because it was time. And I said, we want a slot. And this is how much it's going to cost. Okay, fine. Take the check. As I'm talking to you right now, I've already made a recording for 4 weeks. Our beginning looks small, even on the radio now. Oh, on Saturdays alone, 15 minutes, 11 minutes of preaching, 2 minutes of Wisdom Assembly anthem that everybody loves. They can't get enough of it. Hallelujah. And then the announcements. But very soon, we will move into the midweek. We will move into the week. It will become an everyday thing. Then it will become morning and evening. In the name of Jesus Christ. The devil knows the power of that seed that you are carrying. He knows it. And that's why Satan will do everything to kill that seed. He will not wait until that seed is planted. He will not wait until that seed is grown. He will look for ways to kill it in seed form. You know why? It's easier to crush seed than to destroy a forest. When Moses was a seed as a deliverer, a law went out in Egypt, kill every son. Because that seed must not see daylight, must not live. The Bible says Moses was a proper child. But the question is, for Moses to be saved, who hid him? It was his parents. They did everything possible to protect that seed. If you don't do everything possible to protect the seed that God has planted in you, Satan will kill it. You make no effort on the seed. You make no effort on the dream. And now you are blaming somebody else. It was until they couldn't keep him anymore that they now said, Lord, it's in your hands. And true to it, God said, okay, give him to me. And he protected him. Praise the Lord. Luke 8, verse 12. The Bible says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then what? Come on, help me. Then the devil comes to do what? Take it away. What did he take away? He took away the seed. He took away the seed. He took the word out of their hearts. He uprooted the word out of their hearts. You are receiving it now. Will you remember it tomorrow morning? Will you remember it on Tuesday? Will you remember it on Wednesday? Will you still remember it when you come back to church next week? Or it will have been stolen. You know why he took it away? He says he took the word out of their hearts. Why? So that they will not believe instead, so that lest they should believe and be saved. If I don't kill it now, they will believe. And it will work for them. But whatever seed God has planted in you, the devil will have no capacity and no ability to steal it from your life. In Jesus' name. You see, it's easier to destroy a dream than to destroy the manifestation. After it has manifested, wind can blow and blow and blow and blow, it will still remain. Satan is still looking for dreams to steal. He's still looking for dreams to kill. He's still looking for dreams to destroy. Hallelujah. Don't kid yourself. Some of us are so frustrated by this that why am I always under attack? Newsflash. It's because of the dream you carry. It's because of what God has planted inside you. It's because of how God wants to differentiate you. But Satan is looking for every way possible to kill and to destroy. You carry that seed, you become a magnet for Satan. But you will overcome. Amen. I say you will overcome. Amen. I say you will overcome. Amen. You know, let's not lie. Some Christians have lost their blessings long ago. You know why? Because they've allowed the devil to steal that dream, to steal that seed from their heart. They are still in church. They still come back to church. But nothing is alive inside them anymore. Whatever Satan has stolen, I declare them restored back to you. I say I declare them restored back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And you that you are like, oh, well, I don't have a God-given revelation. Why don't you go to him in prayer? Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him to birth a dream inside you? That's why when we want to preach the word of God, we start with prayer. We start with declaration. We water it with worship. And then we pray one more time. And then the word of God comes. You know why? So that it can find the right place on the inside of you. See, when you carry God's dream, a few things will happen. Distractions will come. And many are distracted. Instead of paying attention to that dream, they are distracted by their associations, by the places they go, by what they feed their minds with. You germinate your mind with all nonsensical nonsensities. Doubts will come because you are still not feeding that dream. When Moses was crying, why don't they kill him themselves? But they fed him so that he won't cry. Hallelujah. Fear will come. And sometimes you may even think that, oh, I'm the only target. No, you are not the only target. There's Walmart as well. When you get home, you understand that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. If you have the capacity to hold on to God's revelation long enough, believing in it and confessing it long enough, allowing yourself to be led by it, you wrap it around yourself long enough, guess what? It will become your reality. Amen. The word you hear and you don't hold on to, the word you hear and you don't allow to germinate in your life, it can't be a reality. Some of us are like, well, it's taking too long. If your dream is a corn, it will show up in a few weeks. If your dream is a cocoa tree, it will show up in a few years. If your dream is a bamboo tree, it will show up in multiple years to come. Because you don't see, it doesn't mean it's not working. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, lest they believe and be saved. What does this mean? With this word, with this dream, that seed can deliver you from lack. The word of God does not only save you and give you salvation to make heaven, it gives you much more. The word of God gives you supernatural creative ideas. The word of God you carry and nurture invites favor into your life. The kind of favor you never dreamt of. The kind of blessing that comes on a monthly basis guaranteed, and it's not your job. If you nurture it, it will deliver you from mediocrity. Deliver you from anything. There's increase in the word. There's life in the word. There's blessing in the word. There's joy in the word. There's peace in the word. I've told you before, if you have insomnia, you can't sleep in the night. Start reading the Bible. You've tried it, right? What happened? You slept. Praise the Lord. Except you are intentional about it. Praise the Lord. But when you are reading that magazine, you didn't sleep. When you are watching that TV show, you didn't sleep. But the moment you pick up the Bible, bam, knock out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, you have to give me extra 2 minutes today. Hebrews 4, 1 to 2. The Bible says, I'm reading the Good News Version. It says, now God has offered us the promise, the seed, the dream, that we may receive that rest, that we may receive the dream he spoke about. Let us take care, then, that none of you will be found to have failed to receive that promised rest. For we have heard the good news, just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good. Why did it do them no good? Because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. They heard it. You hear it, but did you receive it with faith? What does this mean? The word of God is not optional. Did you hear me? The word of God is what? It's not optional. Don't make the word optional in your life. And to some of us, as I'm preaching, you are agreeing in your mind. Head accent, mind accent, but not heart accent. Oh yeah, pastor is preaching the truth. But what part of you is that truth being stored? What part of you, what picture are you seeing? What is rising up on the inside of you? It's not about agreeing with it. It's about your life depending on it. Hallelujah. It's about your life depending on it. Amen. Until we get to that point where we start building our lives on the word of God. We start building our lives on the word of God. Then we are ready to see a change. Praise the Lord. Let me throw this out there to you. You are praying to God, God do this for me, God do that for me, God do this. You see, let me tell you something. If the word does not change you inside, it's not going to produce anything for you. You want me to say it again? If the word of God does not change who you are inside, it's not going to produce anything. is not going to produce anything. It's going to remain just the same. And the danger is, you just find yourself missing God. You are praying, you are worshiping, but the word is not changing you. You can't get what it has. In closing, Numbers 13, a story we know very well. After the spies have gone to spy the land, and they came back to give the report. Watch this. From 27 to 29. Then they told him, that is to Moses, and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It was truly flowing with milk and honey of a truth." Believe me, sincerely. It was flowing with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. This is the proof of the blessing of that place. Nevertheless, but, the people who live there, in that land, they are too strong. They are stronger than us. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, giants. The Amalekites were in the land. Watch this. He says, the Amalekites dwell in the south, so we can't go to the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountain. We can't go there. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea. We can't go there. And by the banks of Jordan. But this is the proof of the goodness of the place. Let me ask you, do you believe God's plan for your life? Do you believe God's promise for your life? As those guys were speaking, one person who had a different mind because of what he carries inside, Caleb, he said, "Shut up, everybody, shut up! It doesn't matter the crowd that is speaking nonsensitive. Keep them quiet." He said to Moses, "Let's go now. Let's go and take it. No wasting of. Let's go and take it over. We can do it. Isn't it what God said to us? We can do it. Whatever God said to you is guaranteed. It's possible. Rise up for it. Go after it. And it will come to pass." That's what Caleb said. He said, "We should attack now and take the land. We are strong enough. We are strong enough to conquer it." Then, fast forward in the book of Joshua. Joshua 14, 6 to 12. I read from the Amplified. Watch this. "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the same Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him," that is to Joshua, "you know what the Lord said to Moses." Watch this. "Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout out the land. And I brought him a report as it was in my heart. As it was in my heart, as it was in my heart. But my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, 'Surely the land on which your feet have walked shall be an inheritance to you and your children always, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And I said this 45 years." How many years now? He was 40 years. Now he's 85 years old. He was still holding on to that promise. He was still holding on to that word. He was still holding on to that dream. He was still holding on to that seed. At the time when everybody would have retired, Caleb rose up and was refired. And he said, I can go. I can take it. It's my inheritance. It's a promise of God for my life. I want you to rise up on your faith, because faith is going to rise in you. God is going to give you the faith. The faith to rise up. The faith to go. To go after all that God has promised you. You will not give ground to the enemy. You will not give ground to Satan. Every dream of God on the inside of you that God has birthed within you, that the devil seemed to have killed, I command it to come back to life. If my Lord Jesus can come back to life, that dream inside you can come back to life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that dream, that dream inside you, that dream of greatness, I command it to begin to come to life. Open your mouth and pray that the dream of God inside you will come alive. You may have taken a detour. You may have aborted children, but you are not going to abort this dream. You may have gone through pain, but this dream will not kill you. You will bat this dream. You will bat God's plan. You will bat God's purpose. Receive grace. Grace to hold on. Grace to hold on. Grace to hold on. Somebody say, I will not lose it again. Come on, say, I will not lose it again. Open your mouth, I can't hear you. Say with me, I will not lose it again. Caleb said, I am this day 85 years old. Yet I am as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. Why? Because the dream was still alive. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war and to go out and to come in. So now give me this hill country. How is he going to give it to him? He's going to speak to him. Go and take it. I said to you, go and take it. Go and take all that God has deposited inside you. Go and take everything. Let me tell you something. You see, some dreams have been abandoned in desert-like situations. Today I prophesy as a child of God that God begins to reign in that desert. That God begins to reign in that desert and water that seed to come alive. Somebody, I want to prophesy to you, it is not over yet. I say it is not over yet. You are not abandoning that dream. That dream is what is still keeping you alive. That dream is what is still keeping you going. And you will achieve it. You will realize it. Faith to take it is upon you today. Grace to take it is upon you today. Grace to nurture it is upon you today. If you believe it, shout a good amen. If you believe it, shout a good amen. If you believe it, shout a good amen. Somebody say, I will run with it. I will run with it. I will not let it go. I will hold on to it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.